Hello and welcome to Palace Intrigue. I am your host, Mark Francis. From CNN, Prince Harry and Meghan, Duchess of Sussex, have denied a report in the British media that they did not ask Queen Elizabeth II about naming their daughter Lilibet after the monarch's childhood nickname. A BBC report, which cited an unnamed Buckingham Palace source, stated that the couple never checked whether they could use the moniker before naming their second child. A spokesperson for the Duke of Sussex told CNN that Harry spoke with the Queen before the announcement and said she was supportive of the decision. The Duke spoke with his family in advance of the announcement. In fact, his grandmother was the first family member he called, the spokesperson told CNN. During that conversation, he shared their hope of naming their daughter Lilibet in her honour. Had she not been supportive, they would not have used the names. The British press is having fun discussing whether or not the Queen was consulted or if she was simply told their plans. Richard Eden of the Daily Mail tweeted, "This is fascinating. The BBC is reporting on #R4 today that Prince Harry and Meghan didn't ask permission from the Queen to use her family nickname Lilibet for their daughter. Palace officials wanted to make that clear." Richard Palmer of The Express tweeted, "On the other hand, if you ask their granny if it's okay to name their child after her, but on the other, it's interesting that the Queen and the Sussexes can't even agree on whether there was a conversation about the name beforehand. Recollections may vary." One of the first people introduced to Lilibet Diana Mountbatten Windsor was the Queen herself via a video call. A source told People that Meghan and Harry were very excited and couldn't wait to share that their daughter had arrived as soon as they returned home from Santa Barbara Cottage Hospital, not far from the family's home in Montecito, California. But in Slate, author Heather Schwedel has some questions. The headline asks, what are Harry and Meghan really up to with the new royal baby name? Did Queen Elizabeth really invent Lilibet? Is this an apology for the Oprah interview? Will this kid be okay? Schwedel dives in on the name Lilibet. To some, such a nickname might be an odd choice for an official name, one that could come to seem childish as the girl grows up. I was on the other end of the spectrum. I could have sworn that it's a perfectly normal name, and it's always been a variation on the name Elizabeth. There are so many established nicknames for Elizabeth, Lily and Betty among them, that surely the Queen couldn't have been the first to come up with this. Yet upon an inquiry, one Slate research ace confirmed the name Lilibet does not seem to have appeared in print before stories of a young Elizabeth abandoning the name around age 5 in the early 1930s. But the origins of Lilibet are probably less interesting than another big question surrounding the name, which is, if Meghan and Harry were so unhappy in the royal family that they made the unprotected choice to quit it, move a continent away and tell all in a television special why did they name their new baby after the head of the family that was causing them so much grief? There have been a few cynical answers to this question. To profit, of course. But the more charitable explanation would be that throughout the saga, Meghan and Harry have taken pains to emphasize that they still have a warm relationship with the Queen. It is the institution they have a problem with, you see. Or so they've said, while giving the distinct impression that they are much less eager to stay in the good graces of certain other royal family members. That is to say, I certainly would have been surprised if they named a baby after Charles or William, but the Queen, less so. Royal commentator Sean O'Grady wonders if the name will wind up being bad for privacy, a major concern of her parents. O'Grady, writing for The Independent, said, "Less trouble booking a table at a fashionable restaurant, getting a ticket for the must-see musical, or, you never know, a job. The downside, of course, as with all celeb stuff, is that giving her such a name will merely heighten interest in her as she grows up." He added, "Her name may turn out to be more of a curse than a blessing, if the poignant experience of the past is anything to go by." O'Grady said the name will boost speculation about who Lily most resembles, whether she inherits Diana's sense of style or the Queen's sense of duty, and, of course, who she'll be dating. Palace Intrigue will be right back. Meghan Markle's first children's book, The Bench, failed to make the bestseller list on the day of its release. The Daily Mail reminds us The Bench was inspired by a poem she wrote for Prince Harry's first Father's Day, the month after Archie was born, and explores the special bond between father and son, as seen through a mother's eyes. Critics have panned the book, with The Telegraph's Claire Allfrey calling it semi-literate and writing, "One wonders how any publisher could have thought fit to publish this grammar-defying set of badly rhyming cod homilies, let alone think any child anywhere would want to read it." But that's Planet Sussex for you, when even the business of raising a family is all about the brand. The Independent called The Bench unlikely to win any literary awards or go down in history as a children's classic. Megan's debut picture book is a sweet, calming bedtime read. However, the language and sentiment does feel like it's aimed more at the adults reading than the children being read to. We think it has the perfect first Father's Day gift written all over it, and it couldn't have come at a better time. Royal commentator Angela Levin adds, I have read Megan's one-sentence-per-page book, The Bench. It took less than 5 minutes. I cannot see how young children will be remotely interested in a female lens stating how a dad and his son get on. The drawings, though, are charming. The Daily Mail adds that Meghan Markle's 107-second audiobook version of her children's title, The Bench, costs 5.6 cents per word, making it one of the most expensive on Amazon. One wonders how that compares to the $25 million deal with Spotify for the 1 34-minute podcast Archwell Audio has released so far. And there you have it. Please follow us on Spotify or iTunes, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm Mark Francis. My thanks to John McDermott. This is Palace Intrigue and good times.